Great preparations were made throughout the fleet and the army for the decisive movement, but the plans were still kept secret. A wise caution was observed in this respect, for the treachery of a single deserter might have imperiled the success of the expedition had its exact objects been known. At 9 o'clock at night, on the 13th of September, 1759, the first division of the army, 1,600 strong, silently removed into flat-bottomed boats. The soldiers were in high spirits. Wolfe led in person. About an hour before daylight, the flotilla dropped down with the ebb tide. Weather favourable, a starlight night. Silently and swiftly, unchallenged by the French sentries, Wolfe's flotilla dropped down the stream in the shade of the overhanging cliffs. The rowers scarcely stirred the waters with their oars. The soldiers sat motionless. Not a word was spoken, save by the young general. He, as a midshipman on board of his boat afterwards repeated, in a low voice to the officers by his side, Gray's elegy in a country churchyard. And as he concluded the beautiful verses, he said, Now, gentlemen, I would rather be the author of that poem than take Quebec. But while Wolfe, thus in poet's word, gave vent to the intensity of his feelings, his eye was constantly bent upon the dark outline of the heights under which he was hurrying. He recognized at length the appointed spot, now called Wolfe's Cove, and leapt ashore. Some of the leading boats, conveying in the light company of the 78th Highlander, had, in the meantime, been carried about 200 yards lower down by the strength of the tide. These Highlanders, under Captain Donald MacDonald, were the first to land. Immediately over their heads hung a woody precipice, without path or track upon its rocky face. On the summit, a French sentinel marched to and fro, still unconscious of their presence.